It is hip-hop legend, Big 3 founder. It is one Ice Cube.
Yeah, yeah. How you doing?
Great, man. Hello. How are you?
Hello.
I'm pretty good.
It's good to see you again, man.
It's good to be here.
Good, good. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We have a lot to cover with you, man. As always, you're Ice Cube. It's a lot going on. A
few things we can go over.
Yeah, but let's talk Big 3 right now, if you don't mind.
Because for sure.
It is happening Sunday. You guys are down to the Final Four in the playoffs. Yeah. How excited are you that's in Dallas? In Dallas, the Dallas team is preparing to play this weekend at the AAC.
Very exciting. You know, this is our first year that we've planted our flags in cities. And Dallas is one of the cities that we definitely wanted to have a team here, because Dallas has been supporting the Big 3 for 9 years now. Since 2017, we came to the AAC and they packed it out. And they've been fans ever since. Some of our biggest games are here in Dallas. So we wanted to make sure we had a team here. And, you know, that came true. And the team is great. You know, they, the number two seed, they got a home playoff game tomorrow, to be honest. So people should come out and, root on the home team, live. Yeah.
Ratings are up year over year. It's year 8 of the league, and the league has grown and changed in a lot of different ways since the beginning. How has the shift to the city affiliations changed the landscape of the league? And then what's kind of next for you guys?
Well, before, when we were, you know, a centrally owned league where all the teams was owned by the league, we can kind of go anywhere and play Big 3 games. But now, since we're planted in cities, that means we're going to the same cities every year. And hopefully we expand. You know, we have 8 teams. So we'll go to 12 and 16. That's really the way to expand, was to sell franchises. We realized very quick, you know, we started the league with 8 teams. And then when we got to 12, we was like, yo, it's hard to make all these teams competitive,
right?
You know, coming from just a central location. So having owners, team owners, you know, they can take their squad. They can take the helm of their squad and run it the way they want to run it. Takes a lot of pressure off the league far as per team. You know, now we can just focus on league business. So what's cool about the city model is, of course, you unlock a big fan base, because, you know, when you can root for your city, you almost open up the market to the entire city. And that means we're coming back every year. So we don't have to guess where we're going to play at,
right?
Like, where are we going to do it this year? But we know we're definitely going to Dallas, Houston, Miami, Los Angeles, Chicago, Boston, and the DMV area, which is Maryland or D.C. or Virginia. So that's cool, you know, that we know where we're going to be. So that helps us out a lot.
Ice Cube in studio with us. Lunchtime with the Invasion happening right now. Big3.com/tickets is where you go to get tickets for the AAC as Sunday. It's going down. They have a celebrity game. Des Bryant, Chad Ochocinco, Waka Flocka are going to participate. Live performance by Big X, The Plug, Flippa T will be there. Did you ever think?
Hold on. Get there early, too, because I'm signing autographs.
I saw that. I was about to ask you about
that. When the door's open, I'm going to be there signing autographs.
Okay.
So if you want a little scribble from your homie, get there when the door's open at 1 o'clock? Door's open?
You'll know better than I will,
yeah,
there, Q.
Yeah,
that's when you have to be there, I guess. So when you had this in your mind, in this vision, and you always think grand thoughts about the visions that you have, did you expect this to be where it is right now? And especially with all the, you know, the entertainment that you have during the game, the special rules and all that to make it entertaining, did you expect it to be at this level that it is right now?
Of course. You know, we wouldn't have did it if we didn't think that it could be as big as any of the other major sports. We realized we had to, you know, do a lot of work. We had to kind of present the league in a great light. We had to make sure that we had Hall of Famers support the league for credibility. And we achieved all that. And so, you know, now it's about growing the league, growing the fan base. People see the product. They love it. They love our style of basketball. We've heard grumblings about how the NBA is playing and it's soft and it's really, you know, no big men in the paint dominating no more. And so we have that style of game, fast, physical, and people love it. We got our little wrinkles, you know, from the 4-point shot to bring the fire. Bring the fire is a coach can challenge a shooting foul once a half and have the guys go one-on-one to see if it was really a foul. That's something unique that you can't do in 5-on-5,
right.
You know, but you can do it, you know, in the 3-on-3 setting. So we've done everything we could to not only make the game interesting, but make the rules strategic where you can actually use the rules to win the game.
Do you find it easier now to get people to participate than when it first happened? Like, people are now probably reaching out to you and say, hey, man, I want to be a part of this, knowing that the success that you guys have had.
Yeah, you know, people see the league. It speaks for itself. It's a mixed bag because before, when I asked people when we first started, you know, we got some big stars, you know, Allen Iverson and Chauncey Billups. And, you know, we had, you know, some Jermaine O'Neal. And so, you know, they played, they came and they set a standard for the league. So now it's a situation where you know what's coming. So either you want this smoke or not. If you don't want this smoke, you need to stay on the sideline.
Right.
But for those players that still have that chip on their shoulder, that still are competitive, who feel like they've, you know, in some ways been overlooked or not got they just run in the NBA, a lot of them still got that chip on their shoulder and they want to get it off their chest in the Big Three, which is great.
So it's going down Sunday at the AAC. Ice Cube's Big Three semifinals. Dallas Power will take on Miami 305 in one semifinal. So big3.com/tickets is where you go to get those tickets. You know we can't have you here if we're not going to talk some music. So we'll come back.
Course.
We'll definitely talk some hip hop.
Yep.
Ice Cube in studio. Lunchtime with the Invasion happening right now. Ice Cube, next. Here, Ticket.
It's 12:17 here on Sports Radio 96.7 and 13:10. The Ticket. Thank you for tuning in to the Invasion today with Donovan Lewis and Travis Mejia. Travis, that's me, in for Matt McLaren. Coming up here in about 15 minutes, we will get back into the Dallas Cowboys in preseason game number 2. But right now, live in studio, we have the founder of the Big Three and hip hop legend Ice Cube. It's your 11th studio album, that you released last year, and you just launched a new nationwide tour starting in September in Denver, a date in October in Dallas. Is performing in front of a crowd and getting to do your music something that still gets you going, or is it something you always feel like you'll come back to?
Both. You know, it gets me going. It's actually the funnest part of the business, performing live in front of the crowd. I've been doing it since I was 14, 15 years old, and I've done everything in the business, and performing is still the most fun. So, you know, I perform at least, you know, 40, 50 shows a year, sometimes more. But they're sporadic a little bit. You know, this is the first time I put together a production this huge ever, you know, since like before his Up in Smoke tour maybe, but I've never done a production this big. And, you know, after looking up and being in the game 40 years, you know, we supposed to celebrate for sure. We got a party for that.
No doubt. And when you're putting the set list together, is there a song? Because I've seen or heard some artists saying, you know what, I've done this song, I'm not doing it again, or I'm tired of doing it. Is there a song that is your favorite to perform? Is there one that you say, man, I just don't know if I can put this on the set list because it just doesn't do it for me like it did before?
No, I like all the songs I perform. Of course, you know, you perform songs and, you know, off the response, you may, you know, say, okay, this is not a concert song. You know, this might be a song people love to listen to, but it's not particularly a song that's going to rock the house. So, you know, that may go on the shelf, but if I've had songs that have performed well, I want to do them, you know, because I know people want to hear them. What's good about this tour and what's better than, you know, if you've seen me before, it really don't matter because now I have the time to dig into that catalog and to do those songs that people may want to hear but never get a chance to hear because they're so deep into the catalog. Songs like Once Upon a Time in the Projects, My Summer Vacation, you know, these are songs that are fan favorites that I never get a chance to get to.
Are you approaching albums differently now? Because after you break off from NWA, you do the first, America's Most Wanted is just an absolute classic and a banger. We all know that. But if you're doing this new studio album, are you approaching this differently? Do you expect every single on the album to be just this banger? Or do you know you have to have some type of filler to complete it?
Well, with an album, you know, it's really, you try not to do a filler, you know, you just try to do songs that fit the subject matter. I released Man Down last year and it was really talking about, you know, situations where, you know, men need to get up. You know, it's like, it was situations where I look around where, you know, being just a alpha male type guy was being frowned on. You know, people were saying it was toxic and all this stuff. So, you know, I wanted to do a record that talked about that. And so, you know, after Man Down, you got to release Man Up. So, you know, Man Up is coming. And, you know, it's a record that's dealing with that subject matter about, you know, standing up on your own two feet, being a man, happy to be a man, and a grown man. You know, I give dap to all the OGs in the building. It ain't just about the kids all the time. You know, sometimes you got to celebrate them, you know, that salt and pepper in your gold teeth sometime. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, trust me. I know that.
Yeah. You got to celebrate that. You know, you can't frown on that. So, you know, I'm just doing records that I feel are real to me at this point in my life.
Speaking with Ice Cube, founder of the Big Three, the Big Three and hip hop legend. One of my favorite things about music and musical artists is the writing process. I respect it so much. It's the first thing that I listen to when I listen to a new album is the lyrics and the storytelling and things like that. So what is your process on writing new songs or even changing things? If you're changing things for a show, what is your process? How does it look like for you for putting together an album and a song?
I'm always thinking of different concepts, you know, even without working on an album or, you know, just kind of going through my day, I may think of a concept or think of a title of a song and I'll bank that, you know, I'll be like, okay, then I'll, you know, my producers are always sending me tracks. So if I like a track, I'll try to fit it to one of my titles that I already have and think of a hook for it. And I usually think of the hook before I write the verse because, you know, most songs are really about the hook. You know, you the hook is really what grabs you. That's why they call it the hook.
Right.
And so I usually think of that. And if I have a catchy hook, then I know that I have the framework for a song. So got the concept, been sitting on it for a while, just got music that fits this concept. Now it's really about, okay, can this be an actual song? So you think of the right hook and now you can write the lyrics that fit into that framework.
Is it always knowing, like, within the first 3 or 4 seconds when you hear a new beat that's it? That's what it's going to be? Because we always have in our mind, as soon as you hear it drop, oh, that's it. That's what I want.
Yeah, I mean, it's a feeling you get as an MC. You know, if the beat don't make you want to rap, that's probably not the beat. You know?
Okay, that makes
sense.
But
if you hear a beat and you just like, oh, nah, where it's like, I don't want nobody else to rap over this got to be mine, then you know you got something. You got something that's captivating, that grips you. You know, as a early artist, you really do what you like. You know, you just, I like this, I'm gonna do it. I like, you don't even know if you're gonna be a big star, none of that. You just do what you like. And then when you get into the business and you get all these record company people around you with all they, you know, this and that, then you start to say, hey, man, like, I got to go back to doing what I like, and I can't just follow these formulas y'all have that, you know, if you do this with this person, you're going to have a hit record, and all these formulas that don't make an artist. An artist is somebody who goes deep into himself and gives you what he likes.
So, Cube, I want to play something for you.
Okay.
Because we have a segment every Thursday called Boy Music. It's our music segment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the gym. I heard same song from Digital Underground come on. And Pac's verse, of course, is at the end of that.
Yeah.
And I know in my head that that's the first time he's ever been featured on a song. And then that's before his career blew up. Mm-hmm. So I started looking at other new, not new artists, older artists to see when their first time on wax was.
Yes.
So you came up.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I have this right or not.
Uh-huh.
But I wanted to play it for you to see if this is the first time you're on wax. It's CIA, My Posse.
It's not the first time, but that is one of my early, earliest cuts.
Okay. So now let's fast forward a little bit so we can get to your verse, because it's toward the beginning of the song. All right, here we go. Let's go. So
yeah.
That brings back memories for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I mean, if you notice, there's a Beastie Boys
Absolutely.
Sample
That's
in
what
there.
That's
yeah.
what I wanted to
and
know.
And Dre was like, you guys got to rap loud and aggressive. The Beastie Boys is banging. And y'all got to match that energy if you want to hit. So, yeah, that was a song produced by Dr. Dre.
Okay.
We didn't really agree with rapping like that.
Okay.
But what you gonna say to Dr. Dre? But yep, okay, what you want?
That was my question for you, because I was asking, did it find a little bit difficult to find your voice? Because you can tell that's heavily a Beastie Boys influence.
Yeah.
Not only the beat and the sample, but your rapping style.
Yeah.
Is that like the only track you did like that? And you said, you know, that's not me. Let me go with more of what I feel.
Yeah, I mean, we had demos. You know, I actually, the name of the group was called CIA, which was Crew in Action. We wanted to be called Criminals in Action, but we was under the Wrecking Crew, and Lonzo Williams was like, man, nobody want to hear Criminals rap. So we went to Crew in Action. But the name of the group before we changed it to CIA was called the Stereo Crew.
Okay.
And we actually did a record on Epic called She's a Skag. And another Dr. Dre production, he used the Tears for Fears beat. And the song was a little more in our range as far as lyrics and style. But yeah, those are like, you dug deep into the crates for that.
I tried to find
early,
it. I
did. Early,
so
early.
It's Stereo Crew, She's a Skag. Is this a song that needs editing, or could I just play it right now?
No. It don't need editing.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Let me get ready here then.
But y'all remember this beat. It's like Tears for Fears.
Right.
Yeah, Dre produced this too.
Let me see if I can find some lyrics here.
I was chilling like an ordinary dude, smelling real good, can see the attitude of then I saw a freak that I think I'd admire. I strolled on over and sat down beside her, said I'm Ice Cube from the Stereo Crew. She looked at her friend and they both said, who?
So that's the first time you've been
that's
on wax.
That's the first time I'm on
that's
wax.
She's a Skag.
Epic
okay.
Records, She's a Skag.
All yeah, right. I didn't even know this.
We thought we had made it. You know, we on the same Jackson, I mean, on the same label as Michael Jackson. So he was like, oh man, this is, you know, we made it. And they actually played that beat at the top of one of his videos, like I think it was I'm Bad or something. They played our beat in a Michael Jackson video.
So you definitely thought that was it, right? That's the high point of it.
What else can we do?
I know.
Man, it was a frisbee. They threw that thing, dropped us after the first single. Yeah.
That's cool, man. All right. Big3.com/tickets is where you go, because the Big Three, Ice Cube's Big Three, the semifinals, the playoffs are happening Sunday at the AAC, Dallas Power, Miami 305 are in one of the semifinals. Man, can't thank you enough. As always, really, truly appreciate you coming in studio. And everyone go out and support the Big Three.
Man, support the Big Three. Doors open, like I said, at 1. Signing autographs. We got a great celebrity game. Then we got L.A. versus Chicago. Dwight Howard going against Montrezl Harrell. Pretty good. And then we got Dallas Power versus Miami 305, which has the MVP Mike Beasley. So it's going to be a good game.
Cool, man. Thank you so much for the time. I always appreciate it. Anytime, that's Ice Cube.